Hello, this is Ian Berg with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, December 11th, 2019. We'll start today's reading on the front page of the paper with the article, DMT Bus Route Changes Coming, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Danville Mass Transit bus route changes starting January 2nd are largely aimed at helping more people get to their workplaces during different shifts. Plans also are being made for the possible closure of Logan Avenue for the new Carle Medical Campus. There will be a few people affected by these changes, said DMT Director Lisa Beth. Beth added, the changes are being made for the entirety of their riders and potential new riders in Danville and surrounding communities. DMT officials this month were putting the finishing touches on the maps and timetables to get them printed and having meetings with employees about the changes to make sure regular riders and the public were aware of the changes. Our route changes are based around an employment survey that Vermilion Advantage helped us with, Beth said. The bus route changes are to help employees at least three businesses, KIK Custom Products on Hegeler Lane, Lebanon Seaboard Corporation on Ross Lane, and Sigma off Lynch Road on Southgate Drive. The 9 Georgetown bus route is adding 3 weekday trips at 7:15 a.m., 10:15 a.m., and 2:15 p.m. There won't be a 2:45 p.m. route or Saturday service. The route also will include a stop by KIK on 2nd and Spelter. Beth said this allows riders who live in Georgetown and Westville to get to KIK for work shifts that begin at 6 a.m. The trips will go through KIK first and assist people who get off shift at 7 a.m. The change will help with overtime shifts too, she added. The 13 Tilton route is adding a 6:45 a.m. weekday trip. Saturdays, the Tilton route will now be part of the demand response service from 8:45 a.m. to 4:45 p.m. The changes will provide service for the Coachlight Mobile Home Park residents and take employees to Lebanon Seaboard. The 14 Lynch route, which has the most changes, will now leave the downtown terminal at 15 minutes after the hour. The trip will be shortened to 1 hour and will run every hour from 6:15 a.m. to 7:15 p.m. Lynch also will run every other hour on Saturdays from 7:15 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. Some stops will be added and deleted. Riders who need to go to the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System can now board the Lynch bus instead of the main Fairchild, since they both leave at the same time, 15 minutes past the hour. We have a lot of people going to the VA and Danville Area Community College, Beth said. Anyone going to McLean will still have to get off at Lynch and Main, northbound. McLean didn't feel there was enough bus ridership to justify going onto its property. The Lynch route is the only bus that goes into Genpact. Some other routes will add a weekday time, such as the 2 Gilbert and 4 Bowman routes. The Bowman route will now stop at Bowman Estates on Bowman Avenue, instead of pulling into its parking lot. On Saturdays, the 8 Douglas Park bus route will now be part of the demand response service. The 10 Danville Champaign route will see the 5:30 p.m. trip eliminated. There still will be 4:20 p.m. and 6:20 p.m. trips. Saturday demand response, where riders call for service, will also provide service to 8 Douglas Park, south of Main Street, 12 Heights South Danville, and 13 Tilton. Beth said some of the changes have come about because they've had a lot of dead miles, and some buses without many passengers, which they don't want to see. Increases in the cost for operations are largely being offset by other changes, she said. They have added another full-time bus driver. It's adding 8 hours to our workday to do this. It's a chance we're going to take to try to increase ridership and revenue, Beath said. They also have had drivers trying to pilot a program to see if they can use an iPad to transmit all of their information about mileage, riders, and times. Also in 2020, DMT officials will be keeping their eye on how the census and population numbers will affect funding, and bids will be opened next month on a study of the DMT Administrative and Maintenance Facility at 101 North Jackson Street. Americans with Disabilities Act accommodations to the office's small ticket and lobby area, making that area larger for multiple people, more functional dispatch and office space, dedicated training and meeting office space, employee lunch and break areas, maintenance expansion for more indoor bus storage, tools and parts storage, and upgrading the existing garage area are all being looked at. The study is to look at if it's feasible to reconfigure the space and accommodate those needs, or if they need to get more land. Now we'll go to the article, Songs of the Season, Barbershop Concert to Benefit Local Children's Ministry, by Mary Wyckoff, Danville. The Danville Barbershop Chorus will offer a triple treat Saturday. Hear beautiful music, see the restored Fisher Theater, and help Fair Hope Children's Ministry. The benefit concert, Christmas at the Fisher, will begin at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday at the Historic Theater in downtown Danville. Doors open at 2:30 p.m. There is general seating. St. James Brass Quintet will perform in the lobby before the concert starts. The concession stand will be open at intermission, with all proceeds going to maintain the theater. For the third year, all proceeds from the concert will go to Fair Hope Ministry, which provides clothing, school supplies, and other necessities to hundreds of children in the area. We are so honored to be selected as the recipient, said Carol Volpart, Fair Hope president. This is such a blessing for us. In addition to helping a good cause, people will have a chance to enjoy the renovated Fisher. Marty Lindvall, director of the Barbershop Chorus, said this is an opportunity for people to hear a cappella in a building designed for that. The theater was built for acoustical music, she said, noting that the natural acoustics of voices and instruments on stage will resonate. If those aren't enough reasons to attend the show, a variety of fun and traditional Christmas music will get people into the holiday spirit. The Hoopston Area High School Chorus will sing numbers on its own, including Good King Kong and Carol of the Bells, as well as That's Christmas to Me, with the Barbershop Chorus. Toward the end of the program, the audience will sing a Christmas Carol medley, following the words provided in the program. Other numbers performed by the chorus include It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, Let It Snow, Winter Wonderland, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, Birthday of a King, Coventry Carol, Silent Night, and more. Also performing will be the quartets, Four on the Floor, Second Time Around, and Buffalo Chips, as well as Young Plus One and St. James Infirmary Octet. It should be a wonderful afternoon, Lindvall said. She and the chorus are thrilled about performing in the theater, and hope people will turn out for the concert. We look forward to seeing everyone there, she added. Volpart said Fair Hope put the donation toward the building fund the past 2 years. This year the donation will be used for the new building in the Old George's Buffet on Voorhees, as well as for the general fund. Fair Hope is maintaining three buildings at this point until it moves to the new site, most likely in the spring. Besides the new one, the other buildings are at 908 May, behind the Bowman Avenue United Methodist Church, and a storage site at 1303 Griffin. Fair Hope just received a donation to pay for heating and air conditioning at the new building, so the men can work there in the winter. Electrical work also needs to be completed. "It's going to be awesome," she said, when the new one-level, handicap-accessible building opens. Fair Hope requires a lot of space for storage and sorting of clothing and other items for families. Clients are referred by social service agencies. Fair Hope is a cooperative ministry made up of Bowman Avenue, First, St. James, Catlin, Farmers Chapel, and Union Corner United Methodist Churches. Volunteers help clients shop, knit, stock shelves, and do many other duties. "Volunteers are always needed," Volpert said, adding they are asked to work 2 hours a month. Fair Hope volunteers will greet people at Saturday's concert and distribute information about the ministry. A little more information about the event. Tickets are $10 for events for adults and $5 for students in kindergarten through 12th grade, and free for children 5 and under. They're available at the Fisher Box Office, from barbershop members or Fair Hope volunteers, or at the door starting at 1 p.m., if still available. Learn more at facebook.com/Danville Barbershop Chorus. To learn more or donate to Fair Hope Children's Ministry, contact Carol Volpert at 497-7616. Men interested in joining the Danville Barbershop Chorus may attend a guest night at 7 p.m. January 7th at St. James United Methodist Church. We'll now go to the death notices. Dorothy Ann Wilson, 92, of Danville, passed away on December 3rd. A Celebration of Life memorial service will be at 3 p.m. on Thursday, December 12th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorials in Dorothy's memory may be made to the Vermilion County Kickapoo Rail Trail Project. Michael A. Mycroft, 58, of Covington, Indiana, passed away on December 2nd. A private service will be held for Michael, and he will be laid to rest in Coal Creek Cemetery. Cindy Highfill, 67, of Crescent City, Florida, formerly of Danville, Illinois, passed away on December 7th. Cindy's life will be celebrated at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday, December 14th, at South Putnam Church in Crescent City, Florida. Merlin Roth of Attica, Indiana, passed away on December 7th. Services are noon Wednesday, December 11th, at Melrose Chapel. Graveside services at 2 p.m. on Thursday, December 12th, at Maple Grove Cemetery in Milford, Illinois. Visitation from 10 a.m. to noon on Wednesday, December 11th, at Melrose Chapel. Memorials to Melrose Chapel, Quincy Humane Society, or Greenville College. Alan W. Makiewicz, 48, of Westville, passed away on Sunday, December 8th. A celebration of Alan's life will begin with a procession that will start at 9:20 a.m. on Friday, December 13th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville, and will proceed to his memorial service at Second Church of Christ in Danville, which will begin at 10:30 a.m. at the church, with several of his church family officiating. Memorial visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, December 12th at Second Church of Christ in Danville, with a Masonic service to begin at 7 a.m. Memorial donations may be given in Alan's name to Westville Recreation League or Second Church of Christ Junior High Ministry. Darla S. Lewis, 55, of Ridge Farm, Illinois, passed away on November 12th. Celebration of Life service will be at 1 p.m. on Sunday, December 15th, in the Blakeney Building at the Ward Park in Ridge Farm. Now we'll go back to the front page of the paper for the article, Report, Some Courthouses Lack Areas for Breastfeeding, by Rebecca Anzel at the Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. Illinois County Courthouse compliance with a law requiring them to provide nursing mothers access to a private room has so far been decidedly mixed, an analysis found. The state's chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union called 77 facilities to assess their implementation of a 2018 statute which mandates circuit courthouses to offer a lactation room. It was to be fully enforced by June of this year. At a minimum, those spaces should have a chair, table, and electrical outlet, according to the law. A sink with running water should be provided where possible. Almost 20 facilities across the state lack a designated space, the report found. In 11 courthouses, parents are told to pump breast milk in a restroom, the sanitary condition of which could contaminate the milk. And another 14 buildings had an area that did not meet the statute's requirements. At the time lawmakers were considering the initiative, they heard stories about the spaces new mothers were offered when courthouses did not have a lactation room. One lawyer who was participating in a trial in the Jackson County Courthouse said she had to express breast milk in her car during breaks. Another said she was told the only option at the McHenry County Government Center, aside from a bathroom, was the building's cafeteria facing the wall. When this law was passed, it was done with the understanding that this reasonable step recognized the realities of working mothers faced in struggling to balance their civic responsibilities and duties as parents. Democratic Senator L.G. Sims from Chicago and one of the statute's chief sponsors said in an email, "It is critical that all county courthouses comply with this fair and cost-negligible law." Emily Worth, an ACLU staff attorney, said despite the shockingly disappointing number of courthouses out of compliance, the several courthouses doing quite well. Those that had a private lactation room with the mandated amenities, as well as staff members educated about the space, prove the law's requirements can be met. They show it's very much doable. It's just about every county taking the time and putting the resources into making it work, she said. We expect and hope that some of the courthouses not fully compliant will respond in good faith to this moment of public education and finally invest in designating and making sure personnel know about that lactation space. The report ranked county court buildings by granting them 1 point each for every yes or no question asked. Courthouses in five counties scored almost perfectly in the analysis. One each in Clinton, Macon, Monroe, and Rock Island counties, and nine in Will County. Facilities in another 22 counties had the next highest scores. Worth said it is not clear who bears responsibility for the 23 counties that failed to meet the law's basic requirements. The Supreme Court oversees general rulemaking for courthouses across the state, but a spokesperson said individual counties are culpable in these cases because they are charged with funding those facilities. State Representative Kelly Cassidy, a Democrat from Chicago, and one of the law's sponsors, said, "There's nothing explicit in the law saying, if you don't do this, this agency has the power. The Illinois Department of Human Rights can get involved." The ACLU did not include Cook County courthouses in its analysis due to ongoing litigation. The group is pursuing claims under the Illinois Human Rights Act based on the denial of access to lactation accommodations, according to the report. A spokesperson for the Civil Liberties Union said its goal in compiling the report was to give people an update on where this is and to show people best practices for making improvements. He added that if we get another 6 months or a year down the road and there are still issues, we will look at a whole range of remedies, including the law's enforcement mechanism. On the legislative side, Sims said he is looking into next steps to address the matter of courthouse compliance. Fundamentally, I'm grateful to the ACLU for doing our work and providing the opportunity to be proactive about pressing these counties to actually comply, Cassidy said. One more note, the Vermilion County Courthouse ranked among the highest in compliance with the state rules to accommodate breastfeeding with a 7 score. The courthouse does have a designated area outside of a bathroom that is private, with a chair, electrical outlet, table, and signs informing visitors of its location. The facility does not have a sink. There is no training given to personnel, and there is no online information regarding the facility. The Champaign County Courthouse scored 0. Now we'll head to the staff report. Neighbor Love seeks gifts for seniors. Danville. Neighbor Love hopes to spread a bit of holiday cheer to seniors in Danville nursing homes this month. The group's ministry, Adopt a Senior, needs volunteers and donors to help brighten the residents' days. Deadline for adopting a senior for Christmas is Friday, December 20th. Neighbor Love is delivering gift bags and hosting a Christmas party for the residents on the following days. Saturday, December 21st, from 9:30 a.m. to noon at Danville Care Center, from 2:30 to 5 p.m. at Colonial Manor, from 2:30 to 5 p.m. at Garden View Manor, on Sunday, December 22nd, from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. at North Logan Health Center. Volunteers are needed to help assemble the gift bags and visit the residents while delivering the gift bags at a party around the home. Danville native Tom Sargent, founder and executive director of Neighbor Love, said, "Imagine if you were a senior citizen in a nursing home and had no friends or relatives to visit or contact you. Any holiday would not be that pleasant." 80% of residents in the homes never have any visitors throughout the year, he said. The goal is to provide a total of 370 gift bags for the residents at all nursing homes. All donations are tax deductible. People may bring items for gift bags to Credit Union 1 at 3591 Vermilion Street. Any items that seniors might enjoy are appreciated, such as skin lotion, socks, a carnation, a piece of fruit, a handmade card, a stuffed toy, and large print word search puzzles. Although Sargent would like volunteers to RSVP in advance through the website, he said volunteers may show up at the nursing homes on those 2 dates. Children must be accompanied by adults. Senior citizens also make good volunteers. Families can help out as well. Neighbor Love is a nonprofit organization based outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and has been hosting parties for seniors for almost 7 years in and around the greater Atlanta area, and since December 2013 in Danville. Expanding our mission beyond the greater Atlanta area has always been the goal of Neighbor Love, and it is an honor to bring joy to seniors in my hometown of Danville, Sargent said. Sargent is still a big supporter of his hometown, and is honored to be coming home to expand Adopt a Senior to Danville. He is a Danville High School graduate and grew up in Holiday Hills. For more information, you can go to adoptaseenior.net. Monetary donations may be made through the website. It costs about $20 for each gift bag. You can drop off merchandise for the gift bags at Credit Union 1 on Vermilion Street. To help, email Tom Sargent at danville@neighborlove.org or call 765-400-0315. And now for some news in local sports, we'll head to the article, Perseverance. Blue Devils win conference opener. by Chad Dare. Bismarck. Winning is always important. But a big word at this point in the season for area basketball teams is improvement. That was the case on Tuesday night when the Bismarck-Henning-Rossville-Alvin Blue Devils hosted the Hoopston area Cornjerkers in the opening game of the Vermilion Valley Conference season for both schools. Bismarck-Henning-Rossville-Alvin remained undefeated on the season with a 63-39 triumph over Hoopston area. But the Blue Devils came away knowing they still have a lot of room for growth. "We are far from where we need to be this year," said Bismarck-Henning-Rossville-Alvin senior Drew Riefsteck, who finished with a game-high 22 points and 8 assists. "We need to keep getting ourselves in the gym and keep on working towards becoming a better team." It was a slow start tonight with it being a Tuesday night game. We picked it up and got the win. The Blue Devils took control of the contest in the second and third quarters against the Cornjerkers. Bismarck-Henning-Rossville-Alvin used a full-court press defense to force Hoopston area into 25 turnovers for the game. But it was 14 offensive miscues in those middle two quarters that fueled a 42-21 run for the Blue Devils. "We know that we can get after teams and create havoc," said Riefsteck. "We want to get them to turning it over, and even if we don't do that, we are able to wear them down." Hoopston area first-year coach Jared Van Dyke acknowledged that turnovers have been an issue at times for the Cornjerkers. "I thought we did a better job at times, but when they made their run, the turnovers keyed it," he said. "It's a matter of getting guys in the right spots first, and then it's a matter of making good decisions." The Blue Devils turned the 25 turnovers by the Cornjerkers into 28 points. Bismarck-Henning-Rossville-Alvin Jr. Elijah Tidwell had a big hand in both the turnovers and capitalizing off them. Tidwell had a game-high 6 steals to go along with 15 points, 8 of those coming during his team's 25-point third quarter. Drew got to the rim a little more in the second half, and when the defense collapsed, we had some guys knock down some shots. "It seemed like our offense flowed better," said Bismarck-Henning-Rossville-Alvin coach Gary Tidwell. "Quickness is our strength, so we are extending our defense and picking it up full court for the whole game. We gave up some uncontested shots at times, but I think it played into our advantage over the course of the game." Riefsteck admitted that he could see his team's pressure defense took a toll on the Cornjerkers. "When you break away layup, it gives your team a big spark while it takes the other team down a little," he said. "We may not have gotten them in the first quarter or the first half, but you saw it pay off in that third quarter." Hoopston area senior Lucas Hoffer was one of the bright spots for the Cornjerkers, as he finished with a team-high 14 points to go with a game-high 14 rebounds. Joining him in double figures on Tuesday was senior Rise Root, with 11 points coming off the bench. "We played well at times in the Paris tournament to start the year, and I thought tonight was our first good game since Paris," Van Dyke said. "It's hard right now because we need more practice time, and we just have so many games right now." That's all the time we have for today's reading. This has been Ian Berg with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, December 11th, 2019. Thanks.